Blog Talk Radio.
Hail, Holy Queen, enthroned above.
Oh, I love that song. I know there's a lot more traditional ways to sing it, but nothing wrong with having some energy. Speaking about energy, I'm Donald Hartley, known as the Catholic Defender, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity that we have here at Deeper Truth to be able to share God's word and proclaim his message to all the world. And tonight also, I do have Dr. Gregory Thompson with me tonight. We're going to be speaking here in just a few moments, but because of our beloved Judy Altheator, who passed away recently, they're going to do not a funeral on the 23rd itself, but they're going to have a prayer for her. And I bought some, I basically bought a plant for her in remembrance of her for the family. Peace lily, white bloom, dark with deep dark hunter green. It's not, with a nice card that says, "With deepest sympathy from the Deeper Truth Radio family and the Rosary Patrol." Judy was part of both, and she was a major player. She was always willing, and she loved being a part of Deeper Truth, and we loved having her as part of Deeper Truth. And now she's up there singing Salve Regina with all the angels in heaven. So, Greg, just to bring you on, it's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Amen, it is. Yes. And we're going to have an opportunity. Yeah?
Oh, I was just – go ahead. I want to hear what you had to say there.
It went in and out of my mind.
Oh, you're telling your age. You're telling your age. I know. I can understand.
Okay.
Well, you know, talking about the Hail Mary prayer, that's probably one of the most recognizable prayers to the Virgin Mary. And it was a powerful one. I love this prayer. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the Virgin Mary was, or the Virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, the angel Gabriel, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." Kekertomene, that's the Greek, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him, or you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom," which, by the way, is the Catholic Church, anyone out there listening, "and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth," and this is important, Greg, "and behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. You know, Greg, this is one of the most important scriptures in all of the Bible. Wouldn't you agree?
Amen. You know, when it's kind of like Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, "No Mary, no Jesus. No Mary, no Jesus." It's a something that I think the depth of that, it just looks like worldwide, the majority of people don't get it. You know, how important in the eyes of a holy God who saw her in eternity, you know, before the world ever began, he knew Mary. He knew this little Jewish girl was going to be so pure and innocent because of the graces that she accepted that flowed through her. It's her free will, and she used that free will to give her fiat that changed what would happen. What would happen to the world? We had no chance to be with God for eternity had Mary. And for anyone to say she was just another woman, it just tickles me that they just in logic, how would you ever say such a thing? You know,
you
know how important, you know, because without her we couldn't imitate what they contain and obtain what they promise when they say the rosary.
Yeah, that prayer. Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's in every rosary, or at least most every rosary. I think you're right on top of it there, Greg. You know, the Hail Mary prayer is the most popular Marian prayer, as I mentioned earlier. It is the par excellence of intercessory prayer, calling upon the Lord for supplication, petition, and thanksgiving. And the whole Hail Mary is often central to devotion, such as the Rosary and the Angelus, for example. And to break down the Hail Mary prayer, it is important to understand the biblical foundations. I think that's important too, Greg. The prayer of the saints have always been seen as important. James chapter 5, 16. Revelation chapter 5, 8. Revelations 8, 3. And Hebrews 12, 1 as examples. As well as intercessory prayer. Some argue that Jesus is the only mediator, between advocate and intercessor between God and man. So they reject the intercession of the saints. But that does go directly against the very character of God, doesn't it? From everything we know about God?
Well, yeah, I mean, is it true that he's the intercessor between God and man? For sure. But we intercede for others through Jesus to the Father. Yes, he's the intercessor to the Father, but we become intercessors for those that are put into a path whenever we, whenever we ask Mary to take it to her son, and she always points at him.
Oh, yeah, she always points to him in everything. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 states, "First of all, then, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be offered for everyone, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is only also one mediator between God and the human race, Christ Jesus himself human, who gave himself as ransom for all." But, Greg, would you say that it's fair to say that Jesus, he is the mediator, but it's through his mediation that everything works, from the church, the sacraments, Our Lady, the saints in heaven? All of this works as a result of his mediation. Would you agree?
Well, everything was by him and for him, for sure.
Amen. Jesus used a lot of metaphors depicting who he is before God and man. In his person, he had two natures. He is God the Son. He is God and the Son, and the second part of the Blessed Trinity, equal to the Father in substance and nature. His human elements certainly was submissive to the Father's will. And we see that in the scripture in the Gospel of St. John. Think about this. Jesus uses 26 times he refers to himself as I am, using seven metaphors indicating who Jesus is. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. And he also says, I am the true vine. Would you say that he is? He says, I am. I think he's I am. Wouldn't you agree?
For sure, Don. Yes.
I barely heard you there. Did you got your phone on, or did you walk away from your phone?
Yeah, you went distant for a minute.
I probably did. Well, Jesus also said, and I think this is important too, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be," again, what does he say? "I am." So clearly, Jesus is identifying himself as having divine origin with God, his Father, which, Exodus chapter 3, 13, 14, you remember the story where God told Moses, "I am that I am." And so that's a connection, wouldn't you say?
It is. It is a connection. It's a good one. Yeah.
A very important connection. And so basically what gives the heavenly host, Mary, the saints, the angels, any kind of life, any kind of special knowledge, special ability, comes from and through the power of God, and most certainly through Jesus as the mediator between God and man. And so the Virgin Mary has no power outside that given her by Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 states, "What eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him." This God has revealed to us through the Spirit. And that's important for us, you know, Greg. It's important for us to understand. We can't even fathom how great it will be at that time when Jesus comes. Oh, at the parousia, when that happens, that's going to be something worth waiting for. Wouldn't you agree?
It will. When he comes as a merciful Savior, you know, one of the things I always remember about if he comes as a just judge.
Yeah.
It's stated that even the angels tremble.
Oh,
so we
gosh.
Do desire
yeah.
in our nature for it to be a merciful Savior. And as long as we follow his will and strive to perfect our virtues and our own walk with him, he loves us more than we love ourselves. And, you know, so it just... we're all called to, you know, to be his children. He wants us to be like children, the innocence of the children, and to say yes to his love because he first loved us. And, you know, he wants to help us if we just ask for it. He said, ask, seek, knock. And we do that with
mm-hmm.
every prayer. One of the most beautiful is the prayers that we have through his mother. Because of her, no one loves Jesus more than Mary.
I agree. And I think that, and being the head of the church, the living church, the church militant, which is his body, no longer strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. These holy ones are united with those who are together at the gold altar of God, who offer prayers with the incense before God, which is a pleasing fragrance to our God. That's an amazing thing. It's a pleasing fragrance to our God. Mary, as the mother of Jesus, takes the historic position of the queens of God's people who intercede before the king on behalf of the people. We see that in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse 19 to 20. And Mary is not in competition with Jesus, nor is she a backdoor offering another way to heaven, like some people seem to think. Mary's whole message is also found in St. John, do whatever he tells you, John chapter 2, 5. At Lourdes, France, Our Lady identified herself as, I am the Immaculate Conception. So you notice she put in a little bit of I am in herself too. I am the Immaculate Conception. And this is not equating herself as I am, who you know, with who Jesus is, but she is identifying her position in Christ Jesus. Would that be a fair way to put that, that she is identifying her position in Christ Jesus as I am the Immaculate Conception?
Absolutely, and, you know, where she crystallizes that to me is in her canticle. We all proclaim the Lord. Mary magnifies him.
Yes, Mary magnifies. And we should be doing that in our lives, in imitation of her, actually. I think that that's an important point. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 15 states, indeed, we tell you this on the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left up until the coming of the Lord, will surely not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with the word of the command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, this is depicting the parousia. Not a rapture, but the parousia. The church does not believe in the rapture. But This is literally talking at the last day, which Jesus said he what will do? Will raise us up on the last day if we do what, Greg?
If we are you talking about obeying him? If we
no, John chapter 6. You know what it says there? The bread of life discourse? He would raise us up on the last day if we do what?
If we take his Eucharist in us.
Yes. Amen. You got it. I knew you knew that, Greg. But that's so important, and that is so important. And when we're looking at Our Lady, that's what she's promoting all over the world whenever she appears. That's what she really, I mean, that's what it's all about. She's trying to show us and lead us to her Son. So,
amen.
It is. And so that's where the Hail Mary comes in. That is, again, with all this being said, the Hail Mary prayer is the par excellence to intercessory prayer. Let's look at this. Let's start it off with Hail Mary. The opening words of greeting here, the translating hail, literally means the meaning of rejoice or be glad. Today, it is also known to be used to flag down taxi drivers in New York City. It's true. It is not a word associated with worship. I think that's important to note. Luke chapter 1:28 is where the greeting was given towards Mary by the angel Gabriel. The angel gives this greeting, and the church knows specifically who that angel is, addressing and adds the name Mary to the greeting, hence the beginning of the Hail Mary prayer. So that's what it is. The Hail is simply mean, it's a greeting. Now, Greg, you've known this all your life, right?
I don't remember a time. Going back to my youth, of course, you're closer to your youth than I did, but I don't remember a time that we weren't kneeling every night praying the rosary.
Wow.
That's probably is one of the things I believe that has sustained me even through my dark time. Even when I wasn't saying the rosary on a daily basis, you know, back then,
yeah.
to the time before, the dark time, where my parents, I had to say the rosary until I got it myself later in life, but I get to say it.
Yeah.
I don't have to say it. I get to say it, but I do in a way have to. Because of what Mary has asked us to do.
It's the right thing to do.
For our family, for peace in the world, peace in our family, she said say it daily. And when we get it, when we have that getting moment, we're not going to miss a day. Out of love for the good Lord, his mother, and for all those that he's put into the path of our life.
Amen. The word "ke keratomini" here translated, the next line is "full of grace." Hail Mary, full of grace. The word "ke keratomini" here translated as "full of grace." The word is the feminine present passive, a perfect passive voice participle. That's what it's called. It is the verb which means to show or to bestow with grace. And in the passive voice, to have grace shown or bestowed upon one. So this is a very important scripture here that the church has used to understand the Immaculate Conception, which Mary said, I am the Immaculate Conception. Well, this is the foundation of that in scripture. I think it's important. St. Luke gives us the story of the angel Gabriel's greeting to Mary with the hail full of grace, which implies that Mary is full of God. John chapter 1:14 gives principally the same description towards Jesus. which says, "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." And Jesus, what did he say? "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So here you get to see that Jesus is the truth right here, even as a child. You know what?
Amen. Amen, brother.
So, Mary also shared in this glory given to Jesus because she was chosen to be Jesus' mother, full of grace. These two were not affected by the fall of man, or, well, the fall of Adam and Eve, by the plan of God. They were the solution of it, or for it. Jesus is full of grace because he is God. Mary is full of grace by a singular, special grace given to her by God. And then the next line, "The Lord is with you." For those who accuse Catholics of worshiping Mary, this is very important. We are claiming that the Virgin Mary is with the Lord. She is not the Lord herself. You know, how can you get that switched around like that, Greg, to misunderstand that? Think about that. I mean, think about it.
Well, what did Satan do from the very beginning in the garden? He said, did he really say that? You know? So,
yeah.
So we have one that is smarter than we are, that has a way with, he was the first major liar. He's got a lot of dupes here on earth that follow him in those lies. But he's always working to distract and try to conquer the lives of all of the good Lord's children. And those distractions are daily and go deep, and there's many people that are trapped by it and can't see. I mean, I remember a time when I couldn't see, even though if you'd have told me I couldn't see, I'd have said you're not eating a fruitcake. Because,
yeah,
you know, when you're of the world in a moment of time, what, you know, who can tell you that you can't see? You know, only the Holy Spirit can let you in on that and help you through Our Lady and her Son. Take those scales off your eyes so that you can truly see. Because if you see the world and don't see the truth, which is Jesus, you're blind. You know, mm-hmm. And you know, this is one of those prayers that we can pray. You've gone through the promises of Mary. Might be a good time to kind of let the people know a couple of those promises. If we say the rosary, say the Hail Marys, and, you know, like Mary asked us to do, you know, we follow so many things of the world, Donald, and people, you know, just believe that, well, I'm doing good. You know, the good Lord knows my heart. And yet we overlook, outside of the Mass, one of the most powerful things in the universe, and that is to appeal to Our Lady. And that's why I love the prayer, you know, that we should say every day with our rosary, is never was it known. You know, the memorare.
Mm-hmm.
Never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection and poured thy help or sought thy intercession was left unaided. How do we not, once we have any inclination of God, you know, that the moment of knowing the fullness of truth can happen when we give our yes through Our Lady, because she's going to help us. She'll be there with us. And
you know, that prayer that you're just speaking of, the memorare, I believe it was St. Ignatius of Loyola, that when he was injured in a battle, he was injured, And in his recovery, he came upon this prayer, which you're talking about, the Memorare, and that had such an impound, it impacted him so much that became like he used that so, I mean, he wrote about it and he copied it down and made it popular. And a lot of people attributed the prayer to him, but it actually goes beyond him back to the 12th century or the 13th century. But it's interesting to note that when you look at St. Ignatius of Loyola, he was a soldier. He was all for power and glory and fame. And after he got wounded or injured, I think it was a cannonball that got close to him and it shattered. I don't remember which leg it was, but he had some recovered, and it took a long time. And while he was in that recovery mode, all that power and glory and fame that he was searching in this life began to disappear as he began to read the writings of the saints. And that what you're talking about, the Memorare. And I actually got an article that I went line by line with that, and we could do that another time too. But I think it's in, like what you were saying of the 15 promises of Our Lady. Whoever shall faithfully serve me with the recitation of the rosary shall receive signal graces. In fact, in my talk that I'll be giving in October here on the 12th and 13th, I will focus on that. And I think that's important and interesting. So I'm with you on these 15 promises. The second one, again, I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all those who shall recite the rosary. That's pretty powerful. And so, I love these. I really think they're important. And this Hail Mary prayer, which we're talking about, you know, 1 Peter 5:10 states, "The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory through Christ Jesus, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you after you have suffered a little while." Suffered a little. And so in this life, there's going to be some suffering, but we can put our faith in total trust. Go ahead there, Greg.
No, I'm just agreeing with you, brother. And I think maybe even a little teaching moment in that, because many people, even priests, I've heard them, are distracted many times when they at Mass and when they say the rosary and stuff, you know. But you keep fighting forward. God knows our weakness as humans. And Mary's very aware of that too. And so we continually ask her to help us, you know, in our weakness. And through the Holy Spirit, we can stand when people would think we're nuts for standing, you know. And that grace definitely comes from God, but he's given Mary a special gift, like you said, a singular grace, to distribute graces to us in need of her motherly aid in our lives, for sure.
Oh, amen. What the angel acknowledged for Mary is also promised to us in a future tense there, Greg. Because we recognize Mary to be with Jesus, we also petition her to pray for us, which I think this is interesting too, because I have another take about praying the rosary, that when we pray the rosary, a lot of people will say, well, you're praying to Mary. Well, okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, we're praying with Mary, because she's praying the rosary with us. I think that's an important aspect of it too.
Absolutely.
So also,
you know, it's you know, we're praying to, with, and through her to the King of Kings, for sure. You know.
Amen.
There's no doubt that she's not God. We know that. But she is his most perfect creature that ever existed in time of eternity. You know, because God was not when the caricature Say it again.
Caracaltabini.
Yeah. And when that was said to her, like said it, her name wasn't even included in that. It was like a new given name, like thou art Peter. It was almost like,
yeah, a title.
Mary. We know it's Mary, you know, and we know the rock of the church. When he named Kepha, that he was, you know, we know that without having to say Peter. We know Mary is full of grace without having to say Mary. But we know
who
it is.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
Amen. The next line, blessed are you among women. Now, that's an important one, too. At the greeting of Mary, St. Elizabeth exclaimed, most blessed are you among women, as she recognized that the words of the angel given to Mary were true. Mary is blessed for her faith and obedience to the will of God. Remember, Judith in the Old Testament is a type of Mary because of her faith and in what she had done. Judith, literally by her hand, saved the Israelite from certain destruction. Yet God worked a miracle through her. Judith 15, verse 10 states, with your own hand, you have done all this. You have done good to Israel, and God is pleased with what you have wrought. May you be blessed by the Lord Almighty forever and ever. Likewise, because of Mary's yes and her obedience to do God's will, through her love of God by her hand, she brought into the world the King of Kings who won the war. Mary spoke of herself, my soul magnifies the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his handmaid's lowliness. Behold, from now on will all ages call me blessed. Wow. Mary is identifying herself with the Queen of Psalms 45, verse 10, whom the Lord promised, I will make your name renowned through all generations, thus nations shall praise you forever. That's Psalms 45, 18. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? About, you know, Mary is highly praised. She's blessed. But so are we when we listen to her and we share her with others. Do you agree?
Oh, for sure. And that's one of the things that, you know, I think as Catholics, not only do we have all the sacraments and, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, to know Mary and her, what she does for the good Lord and for us out of love, is so sad that we don't share it enough. You know, and we don't take people to the next level. Kind of like when you're bringing them into the church, you know, Don, you say, why do you want to stay in that halfway house? You know, so
in our
walk to eternity, I think it even takes a higher degree of that, you know. But people can't see or understand until at least we have to offer it to them, you know, that they, you know, because we know that their depth of knowledge of knowing Jesus will increase exponentially with Mary's assistance, you know.
Amen.
And,
So,
you know, and I'm going to all the people out there that say, I just go directly to Jesus. I said, you know, and I say, okay, that's great. You know, you've heard the story, and listen up, people, you know, where someone poor was wanting to give something special to the good Lord. And so they gave it to his mother. And, you know, let's say it was an apple. She shined it up and put it on a gold platter and gave it to her son. So it became very special for the one that was asking for her assistance, you know. And you know, I just know in my life, I've been so fortunate, and I would say blessed in its own way, for sure, to have been able to see many miraculous things in the reality of my life and in the reality of God's presence for all these centuries in the life of his bride, the Catholic Church, and the Eucharistic miracles that he's given us to let us know that in Matthew 28, he is with us till the end of the age, you know, to the end of time. He's going to be with us. And so...
That is powerful. And then it goes into, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. The second part of St. Elizabeth's exaltation to Mary is a total recognition of Jesus. Verse 43 states, and how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? In the Old Testament, the people did not speak the name of God boldly. They referred to God as Adonai, meaning my Lord. Fruit is an important word here as well. Psalms 1:3 tells us that people who study the teaching of the Lord, they are like a tree planted near streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaves never wither. Whatever they do, it prospers. Greg, that's kind of where you're at in your life, because your life is all spent about, looking and studying the Lord's Word. That's what I see in you, Greg.
Well, I pray that that's the case till I die. You know, that we never sat on our laurels. You know, that we constantly seek to increase. Increase in a way for him, even as we decrease in the way that Paul talks about, so that everything about what we do is that people can see the good Lord. That, what did it say, where it's no longer me, but Christ lives in me. You know,
yeah,
and that
that's
those things, those things can happen in our walk. So there's both an increase and decrease, if people can understand that. A decrease trying to stay out of the way, you know. I know you've heard me mention it. I know others have mentioned it. When we speak, Lord, let me shut up. Talk through me, you know. And he actually promises that anyway in Scripture. He promised that not to worry, that when...
He would give us the words,
He will give us the words, you know. And when I started... you know, I know at first I was almost reading every word. I just felt like I had to be a plunger that plunged into people. You got to know this. You got to know it. You got to know it. And almost reading, you know. And then by the Holy Spirit, I was, you know, someone mentioned to me, said, you know it. Just let the good Lord speak through you. And I thought about the words on the picture of divine mercy, you know. Either we do that as a church or we don't. Either we do, Jesus, I trust in you, and mean it and live it, or we don't, you know. And the good Lord can give us all kinds of opportunities to increase in faith, but in bringing him to other people, to decrease in a way that glorifies him in every thought, word, and deed that we have, you know, and that we give glory to him as we step out, and you know, all glory to God, all glory to the good Lord, you know, and you know, and when Elizabeth was talking to Mary, she did not even know from a doctor or anything that Mary was pregnant. You know, she was touched by the Holy Spirit. You know, also to be able to say, "Blessed," you know, you know, blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how is it that the mother of my Lord would come to me, you know, and to say something so, so beautifully significant in the life of the church.
Yeah.
And was one of the things that was used when they were fighting the Arians and different types of heresies, you know, that the mother of my Lord, you know, that, you know, that she was, you know, that that it helps solidify in those that are that hear his voice and can see the logic of it, that she is the mother of God, you know, because he doesn't change who he is. And yes, he had both natures of man and God. So we can say that we can't separate that. So when we say, you know, that she is the mother of God, that's the reality of it, you know. And so
definitely, amen to that. The Holy Mary, in fact, we're coming to that in just a second. Holy Mary, the second part of the Hail Mary prayer begins with a recognition of Mary. Mary is holy because she is blessed. She was obedient. She is full of grace. Mary is the model for all God's people as his creatures to live in holiness. St. Peter tells us, like obedient children, do not act in compliance with the desires of your formal ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in every aspect of your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's what the Lord said. So that's what Our Lady, she is holy. And as you were saying, Mother of God, I think this is very important. The Israelites, worshipped pagan gods that displeased the Lord. The Babylonians worshipped a woman called Ishtar. She was the goddess of love and war. Prostitution was a part of the temple worship. Can you imagine that? She was known to have had many lovers. Well, contrast this with the Blessed Virgin Mary, who represents chastity, modesty, faithfulness, and love of God. She is the purest of God's creation. Unlike Ishtar and other female goddesses who were worshipped and called God the Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary is called Mother of God, not because she is a goddess, she is not, but because Catholics, we recognize Jesus as divine. He is truly God and man. St. Irenaeus referred to Mary as the Ark of the New Covenant. He made the typology between Eve and Mary in his writing called Against Heresies, that came out in 189 A.D., as with what St. Paul did with Adam and Jesus, Romans chapter 5:12. So this reveals the perspective and role Mary had in the early church. At the Council of Ephesus in 431 A.D., the church gave the title Theotokos, Mother of God, to proclaim that Jesus is God, that Mary was not simply the mother of the human part of Jesus, that's important right there, but his whole person with two natures, divine and human. And so that goes with what you were talking about, Mary being referred to as Mother of God. Pray for us sinners. Now we are getting to the purpose and heart of the Hail Mary prayer. We are asking the Mother of Jesus to pray for us, to intercede for us, not circumventing Jesus, but as you said, Greg, but through him. 1 John chapter 1:8 states, if we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:10 states, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We all need his help. Romans chapter 3:23. All have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. What brings us into his glory is to be united with Jesus through his church. And who's the head of the church there, Greg? As far as the queen. Jesus is the head of the church,
yeah.
But who's the queen?
Yeah, and then Mary's kind of like the neck of the church, you know. Everything goes from the head to, down to into the body, you know. And Mary is the she's the conduit that brings him in fullness to us.
Yeah.
And
I'm in total agreement. Now
she's truly
and at the hour
she's truly our mother and was given to us by God Himself.
Oh,
you know, and we were given to her.
Yeah. Oh, that's important too. That's very important. The way you stated that, that's very important. We all need to face it now and at the hour of our death. Now we all need to face it, Greg. We are all going to die at one time or another. Of course, in your case, it's going to be 20 or 30 years from now. But at any rate,
oh my.
We all are.
That'll probably be my purgatory here on earth. But I have to keep waiting. waiting and
we are
suffering for the Lord. But hopefully, if that is in fact asked of us, that we can do it with a joyous heart, knowing that He will use our suffering for the souls of others, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
amen. We are all destined, we don't know. But this is not our end. We first die to ourselves, learning to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. Now, that is important. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 2 states, working together, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I heard you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I love this one, Greg. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 56. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is so good. That is so good. Through the power of the sacrament, God's grace is given through supernatural faith, which I hear you talk a lot about, Greg, about supernatural faith. The prayer of Mary and the saints are powerful because God is all-powerful, who listens to his children. And, you know, we end the Hail Mary with amen, which means this is very true. And so may the Lord bless
amen.
You all and keep you in the palm of his hand. So what do you think of that, Greg?
Absolutely. Oh, I love it. And I think right there before the end, I think, initiated another of her promises, did it not, Donald, when we ask Mary to pray for us now and at the hour of our death, you know, because if we are true to all that, she says that if we follow him, she will be with us at the hour of death, you know, and what a joy to even conceive the reality of that. If we are his children through her, that she's going to be there with us and for us at our hour of death. You know, if we're trying to keep the sacraments, we won't die without sacraments, you know. We're promised that.
Amen. We're talking about the 15 promises. Number three, the rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. That is huge. Number four, it will cause virtue and good works to flourish. Oh, that souls would sanctify themselves by this means. That's what Mary is saying. It will cause virtue and good works to flourish. And she says, I can just imagine her saying that. Oh, that souls would sanctify themselves by this means. Wow. Number five, the soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the rosary shall not perish. That means eternal hellfire. Number six, whoever shall recite the rosary devoutly shall never be conquered by misfortune. And boy, that's an important one right there. Number seven, whoever shall have a true devotion to the rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church, which you were just saying a while ago there, Greg. Number eight, those who are faithful to recite the rosary shall have during their life and at their death the light of God. Think about that. They shall have the light of God. Number nine, I shall deliver from purgatory those who have been devoted to the rosary. Man, you want to bypass purgatory? Well, what does Our Lady say in 9? That she would deliver us from purgatory for those who have been devoted to the rosary. Wow.
Let me give an insight just on that one,
yeah,
Donald.
Yeah, go for it.
Before you go any further. To deliver us from purgatory, if we heard one of the saints who not only had the stigmata but was incorruptible, at least with his heart and stuff, Peel. He had a great devotion for the poor souls in purgatory. And he tells us, you know, because there's people out there, listen up, those of you who think, well, you know, at least I ought to make it to purgatory. Padre Peel said, you do not want to spend even 1 second, not even 1 moment in purgatory. You know, with the pain and suffering that happens, and you know, and so every fiber in our body should be seeking to walk into heaven. You know, not that some won't go to purgatory. That's going to happen, but we should seek to not only go to confession and say the rosary daily and do the confession as often as possible, go to Mass as often as possible, but to cleanse ourselves and try to be as pure as we can, doing our workout in confession to strengthen our virtues, and to be able to gain those plenary indulgences so that the here and now we can take care of, through God, the temporal punishment that is due to our sinful nature. But he's willing to give us opportunities to let up to that point that we have a plenary indulgence, that everything is gone. Everything. You know? You know, and that we start fresh in our lives and just strive to become more pure, like you said, Mary, every day, you know, and so that a person has no need of fear of death, and the only thing that I'm talking about the hold of death. Now, we should have a natural fear that God will be just, but not in a morbid way, that he is God. He will expect certain things from us, but not to be afraid of that. He loves us. That's the first thing you understand. He loves us more than we love ourselves, and he wants us to come to him, you know. And so
like children, he's going like to give a child. Us,
yeah, exactly like a child. What does he say to us? You know, that we need to become like little children. With that love and innocence.
Speaking about a child, Greg, I got another child that I just noticed is on here. Terry, is that you, Terry?
Yes, sir. That's me.
All right,
yes,
Terry.
Sir.
Am I right?
I mean, we were having a mass, the first mass so far that we had at the chapel that we built behind the Kobe house.
Oh wow!
So we had
did you say behind the Colby house?
Yes, sir.
Is that are you part of the Militia Immaculata?
Yes, I am.
That's
awesome.
When you said the Colby house, he's a warrior for Mama. And I've got some stuff coming to me right now It hadn't got to me yet, but they have sent it. I've got some things coming to me, Terry. Text me your address, and I'll send you some of what I'm getting, but I'm not going to tell you till I send them to you. Okay, but I just know you'll be thrilled to get them, and you'll want to share them with those that are with you in the Colby House, part of the chapter behind the Colby House.
So the Colby House is a house we opened up for Catholic brothers who are getting out of prison. They did a long time in prison. And so they come and they stay at the house, and it's kind of based after the Benedictine monastic style living.
Oh, that's awesome.
Gotcha. It is awesome.
Yes. And we got 0% recidivism rate, which is like unheard of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, to have zero, that is awesome. Right, we've been talking about the Hail Mary prayer, and now we're talking a little bit about, just by ending this show, the faithful children of the Rosary shall merit a high degree of glory in heaven. That's number 10. Number 11, you shall obtain all you ask of me by the recitation of the Rosary. Number 12, all those who propagate the Rosary, the Holy Rosary, shall be aided by me in their necessities. Wow. Number 13, all the advocates of the Rosary shall have for intercessors the entire celestial court during their life and at the hour of death. I mean, I can say wow to all of these. Number 14, all who recite the Rosary are my sons, which we see that in Revelation chapter 12:17, and be brothers of my only son, Jesus Christ. And I think it's interesting that Our Lady says only son, because it's like she's referring or answering those who think that she had other children. Oh, boy. And then 15, devotion of my rosary is a great sign of predestination. Now, Terry, you've gotten really into the rosary with your family of late, haven't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We've been trying to get together and say it, trying to get with my extended family and start doing it over a Zoom call. My work's taking me out to Mississippi, and so I want to try to pick a time, you know, where we can all, like, do a Zoom call and pray the rosary.
That would be cool.
Well, the good Lord, let me give an insight to one, another thing I want you to remind me of when you text me your address, Terry, is that... let me know how many family members, and I will send you a rosary and miraculous medal that have been touched to the apparel, the clothing of Mary. Okay?
Wow.
And they'll be not only blessed, but be third-class relics, special gift to your family. And, you know, I know... Something's, Mary always lets me know when something's getting ready to happen, and I've been sent approximately in the last 10 days 1,400 rosaries. Like she says, get ready. She's telling me, get ready. We're gonna be getting more of those out into the hands of her children. Now they'll still have a free will to say no, but they'll have to fight through a mass or masses and divine mercy, adoration, and rosaries that they will get it, that they will understand what this weapon is about and what it can do, not only for them, but their loved ones and those that God puts into their path. So just remind me of those things when you text me, brother.
Right.
Do you have my number?
I don't think I got your number. I'll get it from Donald, if you don't mind, Donald.
Yeah, I can send it to you.
All right. Appreciate it, brother. And I'll tell you, outstanding.
Donald, and I've got a commitment now, so if you want to close her up, that'd be fine.
All right, I'm going to right now. I just, I mean, I think we covered the Hail Mary prayer, I thought, pretty extensively. So I thought that's good. So I appreciate it. I wish I did. You just pop on there just now, Terry?
No, I think I came on about 8:15.
Oh, gosh, you've been there for a while.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, then, you were listening for some time then. Well, God bless you.
Yes, sir.
I really am thankful. I wish I'd have seen you earlier, but I just caught you there. I was going back and forth, but I just didn't. But
I'm
anyway,
the youngster of the group. I'm looking forward to y'all's wisdom.
Oh, God, I love you. Hey, Terry, why don't you close us with the Hail Mary? Lead
yeah.
Us.
Oh, yes, sir.
That's a good one.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail
Amen.
Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary,
Holy
Mother
Mary,
of God,
Mother
pray
of God.
For us sinners.
Pray for us
sinners.
Amen.
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 Thank you,
I'm going to play a song here about confession. So anybody out there that needs to go to confession, maybe it's been some time since your last confession, I think it's important. If you got mortal sin, you need to go running to confession. But we should go often. I'd say as a minimum once a month, around once a month, but as often for the grace of it, for no other reason. But I think confession is one of the sacraments that Catholics need to embrace more and more and more, especially in these times. All right. Well, Terry, I'm going to play this song for you and anyone out there listening. God bless you all. Good night there, Terry. Thank you, Greg.
Good night, bro.
Good night.
Thanks, Greg.
Well, here you go.
Revealed, you'd want to run towards the grave that time.